a two computer thing again this year like you did before?
Hello, everybody. I'd like to welcome you to our pre-full moon in Aries meditation.
Excuse me, just have to.
Still cold in Finland. Okay. This is our preparation, along with the sacred pentagram work, for the full moon tomorrow. At least here in Europe, tomorrow, the 28th. And that starts at 5:10 p.m. GMT, and that will be a broadcast with the full moon about an hour and a half later, something like that. We'll have all those details for you. BL will be putting into the chat box Francis Donald's illustrations, where you can find them, and also the text that he has prepared. For right now, I think I may be a little bit abbreviated. Excuse me. And not go into that too fully. But they are well worth looking at, and we have one at least, and well worth studying. His impressions and also the quotations from Master DK. Okay. Well, we're at the beginning of the new spiritual year, the sign of, of plunging in to new experience, whether that experience is the experience of form, let form again be sought, or whether that experience is the experience of the higher aspects of the will, and finally, of being itself. We have to realize that Aries, in its relationship to being, is connected with the third initiation, where the monad begins to have its true effect. So when we use that statement, I come forth and from the plane of mind, I rule, it's a very high thing. And what it essentially means is the monad from its own plane descends through the triad and anchors itself in a central fire, or as a central fire in the heart of the egoic lotus, the jewel in the lotus. And that is the monad's position for the entire duration of human evolution, even though its active role begins around the time of the first initiation. And even though we cannot really detect it until we have a fuller type of soul consciousness. And so the monad, the spirit, the true being comes forth, anchors itself in a center of fire we call the jewel and the lotus, and from which the control of the personality is gradually asserted. It's said about Aries, recognition and cooperation with the divine plan. Something very close to that. It's on page 333 in Esoteric Astrology. Yeah, recognition and work with the divine plan. And it is the sign through which the maximum amount at this time of first ray comes to humanity. And we really need this at this time when the divine plan is being so obstructed and distorted by so many personality-centered people. But then, you know, the monad tells us, well, let's put it like this. The Tibetan says that the fire of the monad is like a fire or the ray passing through a burning glass. We've all had that magnifying glass experience where we focus that beam until it can, you know, start a leaf on fire or a little pine cone or something of that nature. And it's a great purifier. We think about what are the qualities that come out of Shambhala, and they are particularly purification as by fire and destruction. Now, Aries is certainly equal to that. And then comes organization. And since through that particular constellation and its magnetically attuned sign, a sign is different from a constellation, we know, comes the seventh ray and the power of organization. So basically, the first and seventh rays are powerful in Aries. And then there's all those planets, we'll get into them. Mars, as we see over here, Uranus, and, Mars, Mercury, and Uranus, each with its work to do at different stages of evolution. Now, the Jofra illustration, you know, he's always really good, but of course he's not necessarily studied with the Tibetan, and he's not necessarily bringing in the completely esoteric point of view. And so it's very clear that it's the Martian point of view that is being displayed here. The desert is on fire and the volcanoes are are erupting. And the blind woman is searching for the light. Interesting about Aries, you know, the eyesight is not very good at first. And there's a whole cycle of experience that you have to pass through in order for the eyesight in a spiritual sense to improve. Now, the mantra that we're going to use is not about taking incarnation again. Of course, we do. You know, every time we finish a complete round of the zodiac, we take a new incarnation. But we want to be able to say, identify it as the spirit. I come forth, and from the plane of mind, I rule. And this rulership of the divine will is what we want to build into our life. And it's something more than what this illustration shows. Aries under Mercury is the birthplace of ideas. And under Uranus, which is the hierarchical ruler, let's remember that the monadic ray of Uranus is the first ray, correlating with the powerful first ray of Aries. So we want to begin to respond at least to the idea that Mercury rules the birthplace of ideas and the way of registering ideas within the spiritual triad. Ideas are actually beings, and talk about the power. We have that idea that nothing is more powerful than an idea whose time has come. That's the inevitability of the divine plan as backed by the divine purpose. So we'll be dealing with a lot of first ray tonight as it works through the seventh ray, the sixth ray of Mars, the fourth ray and other rays of Mercury, and the first and seventh and third and fifth rays of Uranus. Uranus is very interesting for the, it has somewhat more to do with the heart than has Saturn, because along the Sirian line of initiation, Uranus can be found to be a great distributing planet. Maybe a little. Now, here's one of Francis's drawings. We see the triple man. We see the monad. We see the soul, who that is, in a way, let us say, shaping the consciousness of the personality. So,
Michael? This,
yes.
You're not showing that screen.
Oh, okay. Ah, good. Thank you. Thank you. Now I assume you can see. Okay. Zoom always, confuses me compared to the other modality we were using. But anyway, here it is, a triple screen. On the screen, a triple monad, soul, and personality. And you see the monad embracing all, personality receiving all, and the soul as the active agent of the monad. That's always what it is, and especially from the time of the first initiation, although we don't detect it, this shaping of the consciousness according to a higher standard is going on. Now, this too is very beautiful, and it gives you the same idea. Only here we have the monad in heaven, as it were, and the angel of the presence, which is the extension of the solar angel and cooperating with the monad, rides above the human personality below. And, there's a great egg shaped here, so we know that something is going to be born accordingly. And here again, around the area of the consciousness, around the head, the pineal gland, the head center, the master centers above the head and in the head, there is a stimulation that comes from Aries. Now, you may notice that Aries rules the head. And DK tells us that when you've made contact with the master, you oftentimes feel a ripple in the head. The word ripple is interesting, and I'm sure it's part of the experience of many of us as meditators. So in this one represents that great angelic presence, which blends with the monadic presence within the egoic lotus, and basically at a certain point of reversal begins to guide human evolution. So, you know, it's a very important thing somehow to be in touch with our solar angel on a daily basis, or at least we can call it the angel of the presence that is assisting the extended monad until the fourth initiation, at which point there is a fiery return of the angel to the heart of the sun, and sometimes to the central spiritual sun. And that fiery return, we can imagine that Aries is involved with that. It's also, I mean, every time you start something new, for instance, you're about to tread the way of higher evolution. That's the sixth initiation. Aries is there involved. Or you've been resurrected onto the sea of fire. Aries is naturally involved because a new journey is about to begin. So the big question is for all of us, how will we use the Aries energy to start the new spiritual year and overcome many obstructions and obstacles that may be arising within ourselves or may be part of our environment? You think about it, you know. There are all kinds of things to overcome. And at this time, with the full moon being imminent, what can I, what should I overcome? And do I have a plan for it? And do I have the strength for it? Because we can really move in the direction of victory when we have this kind of energy behind us. Okay. Well, that gives us some foundation, and I know Tuya will go and has been going into more and different from a different perspective. So do join us if you can at 5:10 p.m. GMT tomorrow, the 28th. All right. Now, our next work is the meditation itself. And by the way, I want to show you Dwayne's picture here. There's that light, you know, the searchlight of the Logos. And rays one, yes, and four through Mercury, and seven through Uranus, and ray one through the constellation Aries itself. And all of those turns of the horns, they all mean something in terms of cycles. So, and this is the lamb slain from the foundation of the world. So, you know, Dwayne Carpenter has many beautiful images, just as Francis does, and you can learn a lot from these images. identifying in this case with the searchlight of the Logos. Okay. Now here's our meditation. I assume you can see it. And so we're right now entering that day of safe guarding. You can, when you're Michael, working, yeah.
I'm sorry, we cannot see the meditation. We're still seeing Dwayne's Aries.
Oh goodness, I'm really on tonight, am I not? All righty.
There you go, thank you.
You bet, okay. Well, you know, preparing for the conference has been quite a chore, so maybe I have my full wits about me, almost. But we're on that day of safeguarding, and our process is to receive and to hold. DK said to his students, and maybe, you know, he applies the same to us now, that 12 hours before the actual full moon, which would be about, I don't know, five in the morning GMT tomorrow, he would be on the lookout for what? Not just for people individually approaching the deeper mysteries of Aries, the ashram, and so forth, but a group approach. And in a way, you know, that is what we are doing now, the group approach. So we still have that attitude of dedication, we might say. And remember, Aries is number one. India has an Aries soul, and they have advanced the appreciation of what is Parabrahman and Brahman. They have seen the unity of all things, the oneness of all things, at least in their deeper metaphysics, in the Upanishads and so forth, Aries and Ray One, in that great country, spiritually to return to its former status. So when we're working here, we have the concept always of the One, of oneness. So we begin because we are the soul-infused personality, or let's be realistic, the soul-infusing personality. We are the soul in incarnation. We withdraw our consciousness by an act of imagination from the personality and its vehicles. We can use the old Raja Yoga mantra, which is certainly partially true. I have a body, but I'm not that body. I have emotional states of attraction and repulsion, but I am not them. I have a mental body with many thoughts and ideas which have descended, but I am not that mental vehicle, then what am I? And we have to get a sense every once in a while that we are the soul, the light. We are the consciousness. We are the being within a consciousness. And so we enter into that sense of, it's temporary, of course, but I am the soul. Really, of course, we are being and spirit, but higher than our identification with the personality is our identification as the soul. I am the soul. And layer after layer, you know, drops away. And we discover more of what we really are, step by step. And the soul is group conscious. So there's only one soul in all the universe. But we're dealing here with humanity. There is a single soul of humanity. One. And one consciousness with many eyes, shall we say. 10,000-eyed Argus from mythology. And we reach out, you know, to the in soul to the spiritually minded people, to the men and women of goodwill, we imagine that we can sense them. They are points of brighter light than the usually relatively dim light of the majority of human beings. There is something that connects us in soul to all these men and women of goodwill, and even more so to the members of the new group of world servers, still brighter lights, still more soul infused. Group consciousness, everywhere in the world, until we begin to realize it's a constant, necessary realization that there is one soul of all humanity. One consciousness. there is a form of Tibetan yoga where you can, as it were, enter the consciousness of anyone. And it's based upon the idea that there is one consciousness. And so, the ancient mantram proves correct. There is no my soul and thy soul. There is only the soul. Naught is but me. Whether in the body or out of the body, naught is but me. And all brothers and sisters are one. That takes a little bit. It takes some penetration beyond the obvious. Now, we want to penetrate into those worlds that the masters inhabit with their consciousness, and where naught is but me is a clear and present realization. It's a very different life when that mantra means something to us. But from the astral body up to the Buddhic vehicle and passing through, the energies gathered around the mental unit, we visualize the multicolored antichoronic bridge, the rainbow, the rainbow bridge. And we, as if pull from the soul into a pool of energies through which the antikarana passes. We pull from the knowledge petals. We pull from the love petals. We pull from the sacrifice petals, opening up as we pass through the preliminary initiations. We imagine that we pull from the synthesis petals, which with every preliminary initiation open a little more. And even from the rather veiled and obscured central fire, the jewel in the lotus. So our antikarana is mostly indigo in color. Normally our soul ray and personality ray colors would be there, and they are, but it's mostly indigo when we're doing this group work. And we're going to imagine that beam of white light projected upward into the triad, toward the monad, never really reaching the buddhic and atmic permanent atoms and the monad, not yet, but heading in that direction, and met by an outpouring of energy from within the triad and within the monad. So we'll sound the mantra internally. I see the greatest light. It is a word of power. And we'll sound the Om as we visualize the projection. I see the greatest light, and we sound the Om. Oh. Our objective is to see more light, the unfettered enlightenment coming from Shambhala, coming from the monad that has its home in Shambhala, and even more so, it is that which finds its home within the sun. I see the greatest light. And from that light will come into our consciousness, especially in Aries, the new ideas whose time has come. So we remain attuned with this triadal world, imagining that there is a downflow of energy from very high levels within the triadal world into our soul, into our soul-infused personality, consciousness. And as we have entered imaginatively that world, we're going to salute the great ones and try to participate at this high point of tension time in their consciousness, because they're meditating intensively at the full moon time. So, we turn toward the masters with heartfelt gratitude, knowing what they have provided, this occult bridge to the higher worlds. Salutations to the Christ, the Master of all Masters. Salutations to the triangle of masters with whom we most frequently work. Master Moria, Master Kutumi, Master Chualkul. Salutations to the Master Moria, the head of all esoteric schools and organizations. Salutations to the Master KH, whose ashram is most responsible for preparing the hearts and minds of humanity for the coming of his great brother, the Lord Maitreya, the present Bodhisattva, the Christ. Salutations to the Master Chualkul, the messenger, who has given us the blue books and who trains so many in the initiations of the threshold and even the third degree. Salutations to your own master, as you know him to be, or conceive him to be. Salutations to the entire spiritual hierarchy of the planet. So, imaginatively at least, we have somewhat entered their world. And we know, as they do, that all souls are one. And it's all one being. But we take it even higher, imaginatively, and with great reverence and deepest respect and love. And identified as a group, we attune as best we can with the presence of Sanat Kumara, who stands at the very center of Shambhala. And inwardly, we sound that long, silent om, imagining the group, as much as may be possible, imbued with his energy of divine love and supernal light and great purpose. And now we get ready to take our journey towards the planets and the stars, as it were. And we imagine us all coming together in a radiant point of light and love and sacrificial will and power. And before us stretches the golden pathway. Which leads into the heart of an indigo sphere. We are all very much together as one being, one consciousness, and we travel with that shortening golden pathway we travel as it shortens and shortens, and we find ourselves together imaginatively in the center of the indigo sphere. And here we, as if, find the consciousness of Master DK. Who will attempt to use us as a consolidated point, as an outpost of his consciousness, as we journey imaginatively to the planets and constellations involved at this time. And our encounter will be at first with the rulers of the constellation Aries, Mars, the exoteric ruler, conveying fortitude and the will to fight for a high ideal. And we will encounter Mercury, the esoteric ruler, conveying the power to apprehend the archetypal idea and to destroy illusion through a fiery mental process. The jungles of illusion are set on flames, on fire. And the path stands free. And we will encounter this blue-green planet, Uranus, the hierarchical ruler, conveying the electric fire of pure will. For the ultimate stimulation, vivification of the entire human energy system through its linking to the world of being. And Master DK's presence will help us with these encounters, because while these energies are always present, they are present more intensely now and in relation to the constellation of Aries. it's very important to realize these energies are here and now, growing in power, and our access to them growing as we approach the full moon. We have to be able to identify the presence of these energies. So first we think about Mars, the planet of all warriors. To bestow the spiritual courage and underlying fiery aspiration. For fusion with divinity and for the successful manifestation of the divine ideal embodied in the divine plan. There's so much approach to Mars lately. It can be both good and bad, but we imagine that we can bring that energy of that red-orange planet into our consciousness. And we let that energy stream into our consciousness and into the consciousness and energy of our groups as we realize where we need it together. First individually and then together. Where do we need this Martian energy? And we'll sound the Om on what is generally agreed to be the red note. The note C, and imagine we see the flow of energy, Martian energy into our energy system and the group energy system and even the national system. So we are enriched by Martian energy, helping us fight the good fight and the discovery of the ideals by which we must live. But Mercury and its energy are also esoterically present right now. The planet of the transcendental mind, the triadal intuitive mind, to stimulate intuitive understanding of imminent developments within the precipitating divine plan. And so we seek to understand the manner in which the planet Mercury supports the role of Aries as the birthplace of ideas. Normally, we live in the world of thoughts, not so much yet the world of ideas. So we ponder on Mercury in relation to Aries as the transmitter of new ideas and as the bridge between the archetypal worlds and the worlds of form. New ideas may come to us now, individually and in our groups, and maybe in our nations. And ideally, within all of humanity. So we will attract these new ideas, sometimes on a yellow beam, and on the note E, do, re, mi, as the flow of new ideas, whose time has come, enter our individual and group life. Excuse me. You can sing that note if I can't tonight. Write new ideas. And finally, we will encounter Uranus, the great power of magical Uranus, the father, the home of electric fire, to bestow the imagination for the final, the total transformation and renewal of the individual and the group personality. It's the power, as it relates to Aries, that enables the initiate to tread the final burning ground. All things in the way of spirit are burned away. He overcomes the illusion of time and space. He understands the meaning of simultaneity, the eternal now, the one and only point, which is nowhere else. And the reality of synthesis. Can be apprehended. So we'll use the violet flame because there's a lot of seventh ray there, as well as the first ray behind it. And we'll imagine the flow of this violet into our lives and into our group life, national life, into humanity. On the note B, it's called the leading tone, the note B. And it really is on the verge of a new octave of life. Oh. So the transformation can come. The good fight can come. The reception of the new ideas can come. The transformation can come until we learn to live the archetypal life under Uranus. We turn our attention to our great solar logos, the God of love. The God of love, wisdom, especially in this solar system. And we feel that energy of the blue logos, the great heart center of a cosmic logos nearby, pouring the indigo ray, God is love. And ultimately, whatever our rays may be, we all find our place within the sun as monads. Let love, wisdom pour through us as we deal with the sign of the Lamb slain in sacrifice from the foundation of the world. The journey of the monad is a great sacrificial journey. And we are on that journey. We think about the light of Aries. This is the dim light of light, the light of life found at the center of the cycle of manifestation. Faint and flickering at first, it is the searchlight of the Logos, seeking that which can be used for divine expression, the light of life itself, revealing life, which is being. So at this time, you can come into deeper rapport with what being itself may be. We open ourselves to the intense feeling of this great Aries energy of commencement, giving us the light of life, the ray of power, the ray of magic and organization, the planetary lords of righteous combat and intuitive reception and transformation into archetypal living. The forces of restoration are found here. What is the divine plan? Do we know? This is the time to find out and to find what role we may play in the divine plan. Now we ponder deeply the great mantram, and we will intensify our pondering as the actual full moon approaches tomorrow. I think it's 6:37 or so GMT in the evening. I come forth. And from the plane of mind, I rule. I, the monad, come forth into the seat of fire in the midst of the soul. And from the center of the egoic lotus on the plane of mind, I rule. We will now ponder for some moments on this powerful mantra. I come forth, and from the plane of mind, I rule. Descending from the sea of fire, where the liberated monad in Aries rules, I extend myself to the higher mental plane, becoming a central fire, becoming a radiatory jewel. And through those radiations, which are sacrificial, I rule. I, the One, come forth into individualization. And from the individual point of view, on the higher mental plane, I rule all things of the personality within the dense physical body of the planetary logos. I come forth, and from the plane of mind, I rule. From the highest center in the one about whom naught may be said, which is the zodiac of 12 constellations, one of those petals of the 12-petaled lotus in that great super entity radiates forth, touches the Great Bear, from whom our 7 rays come, descends further into our local cosmic logoic constellation, in which our sun is a heart center, enters our solar system, passes to Mars, passes to Mercury, passes to Uranus, and comes to the Earth, stimulating all of us as monads and as souls and touches the head center and the base of the spine center of those human beings who can receive and rises again to the head where the seven master centers are found. We can take a new grip on life and on our incarnation and rule from the occult center, where two sets of master centers are found, those within the head and those above the head, controlling those within the torso. We can rule in a spiritual way. And we think of where this Aries energy is needed in the world. Where must new beginnings be made? And in general, it is Aries that instigates, incites entry into the Aquarian age. I come forth. And from the plane of mind, I rule. Microcosmically, the one rules the microcosmic many. And we can overcome, we will overcome. Find your obstacles. Find the obstacles in your groups. And work with these energies on the overcoming. And we will close our meditation with the great invocation, and we will prepare during the next, 20 hours before the actual full moon in Aries. from the point of light within the mind of God. Let light stream forth into the minds of men. Let light descend on earth. From the point of love within the heart of God, let love stream forth into the hearts of men. May Christ return to earth. From the center where the will of God is known, let purpose guide the little wills of men. The purpose which the masters know and serve. From the center, which we call the race of men, let the plan of love and light work out, and may it seal the door where evil dwells. Let light and love and power restore the plan on earth. Thank you, friends, for meditating with us. Tomorrow, the full moon, the 28th, we begin our broadcast at 5:10 p.m. GMT, and about an hour and a half later or so comes the actual full moon. I can find out for you exactly here. It's you just take my word for it, I guess. It is at 8. Let's see, it's at 5:48, is that it? Or maybe 6:48 in the 6:48, the actual full moon in the evening. Okay, thank you. And we'll post this as soon as we can. And If it's of any value to you, then you can review it. This is an interesting six-pointed star right here in the middle. It's quite exact. Interesting. That's Moria's star, the six-pointed star, and it stands for the monad. Okay, friends, thank you for your work together here tonight. Lots of love and many blessings from all of us in the communications group. We'll be in touch. Bye-bye.